psalmist writes, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. I started to panic. I was scared. There was no chance of moving at all. The sand had surrounded the whole leg, and I couldn't move it. The best way to describe it would be standing in a huge puddle of concrete. I didn't know if I was going to make it out. So those are the words of a guy named Ryan. Poor Ryan. In 2019, he was out and about just trekking in the wilderness of North America, having a good time, until that point when he trod in quicksand. Now, when I was a child, quicksand, like, you don't come across quicksand very often, really, but I remember as a child being terrified that on any given day I might come across a puddle of quicksand. But imagine walking along, perhaps near a riverbed, and then suddenly finding that your feet are sinking into the earth, stuck, and completely unable to escape. And worse than that, with every movement, you're actually getting deeper into the sand. With every movement, every sort of attempt to free yourself, you're actually getting more stuck. Now, in that situation, I mean, what can you do but call for help? Someone stuck in quicksand needs to be rescued, don't they? Now, as Michael said, we're over the next couple of Sundays, we're looking at these psalms that are particularly known for being Passover psalms, in that God's people throughout history, as they celebrated the Passover, would sing these psalms. Remember the Passover. Do you remember what happened at the Passover? God's people were enslaved in Egypt. And so God visited them to rescue his people, who he loved. And on that fateful night, he said that the firstborn son of every family would be killed. But for everyone who took the blood of the lamb, who took a lamb and slaughtered it, and then took the blood and then daubed it over their doorframe, they would be safe. And everyone who did that, that very night would be brought out of Egypt, out of the land of their captivity, and would be brought into freedom. That was the Passover, God's amazing rescue of his people. And so God's people, after that, would celebrate the Passover. And they would sing these psalms, remembering a time when, as a people, they were stuck in the ultimate quicksand, unable to free themselves. And God rescued them. We're doing this series in the run-up to Easter, because Easter is the ultimate exodus. Again, where God himself in the form of Jesus Christ came into our world, visited us, and freed his people out of slavery to sin and death. Every Easter we remember how Jesus was that ultimate Passover lamb whose blood was shed for us. And if you like, all God's people who recognize Jesus for who he is and shelter under the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, will be rescued. Now Jesus, as one of God's people himself, as an Israelite, he would have sung these psalms. So just think about that for a second. The Lamb himself, would have sung this psalm just before he was slaughtered. We're going to see a little bit today and next week, what would it mean for Jesus, the Lamb, to sing this psalm before he died? Because the whole Bible points to Christ, these words, they are true for us. Praise God, they are true for us. But they've never been truer as when they're talking about Jesus, because the whole Bible points to Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can take this psalm and sing it. Take this psalm and make it our own. We can sing with the psalmist, "The Lord save me, so I will thank and praise him." We're going to split the psalm in two, verses 1 to 11, and then verses 12 to 19. So firstly, we're going to think about how, for us, corporately, as well as individually, the Lord has saved us. Let's just read that first half again. "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me." So as the Israelites ate lamb and flatbread, and as they drank wine, they would sing this hymn, and they would be transported back to this time in Israel's history, the defining moment in their history, a time when, verse 3, the cords of death entangled them. The anguish of the grave came over them. They were overcome by distress and sorrow. When we finished our series in Genesis last week, wow, the Hebrews were living in Egypt, safe, happy, privileged. But in just a short time, really, there was this population explosion such that the new Pharaoh, out of fear, enslaved God's people so that they wouldn't pose any threat, any risk against his kingdom. And this lasted hundreds of years. God's people collectively were stuck in the quicksand of slavery, unable to escape, unable to free themselves, entangled, overcome, overwhelmed. And we're told at the beginning of the book of Exodus that they cried out to God. They called out to him, as verse 4 says, "Lord, save us." And true to his character, true to his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary or the simple. When I was brought low, I was stuck, he saved me. And so the God of Israel struck the nation of Egypt with plagues until Pharaoh let the Israelites go free. God had acted decisively on their behalf. He protected them. He let them out to safety. You could say that he grabbed hold of them and lifted them out of the quicksand when they were powerless to free themselves. So do you see that the psalmist's experience that he describes here is the experience of God's people? They were unable to save themselves. They cried out to God. He heard them and he saved them. Now imagine what it would have been like for Jesus. Jesus, remember, knew that he was going to die. Told his disciples enough times that he was going to be beaten and mocked and led away and crucified. He knew, as he celebrated the Passover with his friends, that in just a few hours the cords of death would entangle him. The anguish of the grave would come over him. He would be overcome by distress and sorrow. And yet he could also be confident that his Father is gracious and righteous, that his Father is full of compassion, that his Father would not abandon him to the grave. His body would not see decay. He could be confident that the God of Israel would once more give life to his body as it lay silent in the tomb. Jesus would not disappear beneath the quicksand forever. He would be resurrected to eternal life, never to die again. And so for Jesus, verses 8 and 9 are not hypothetical. "For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." It really happened. And for everyone who is a follower of Jesus today, we can sing with the psalmist, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live." There was a time when we were entangled, overcome with the anguish of the grave, overcome with darkness and sorrow, because we lived under the power and influence of Satan. We lived under God's righteous condemnation. We were entangled. We were enslaved. We were destined for death. And then after that, hell. And God, in his grace, enabled us to cry out, "Lord, save me." And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God freed us from the power of Satan, from the power of sin. Just as death did not have the last word for Jesus, it will not have the last word for us. As the psalm says in verse 8, we have been delivered from death. As verse 9 says, we will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. If we have faith in Jesus, we are united to him and his new life becomes ours. Jesus' determination to go to the cross was nothing less than a rescue mission to rescue us. And the fact that he was willing to endure the cross for us, knowing that the cords of death would entangle him, that the anguish of the grave would come over him, that he would be overcome by distress and sorrow. Isn't it astounding that he would be willing to do that for us, for you, this morning? Isn't it astounding just to contemplate the depth of his love for you? Enormous love. And we can sing with the psalmist in verse 7. Sing to ourselves, if you like. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. The Lord has been good to us if we are followers of Jesus today. He has saved us. How was it when we recognized that we were stuck and we were entangled? How was it that God came to our rescue? It's striking in its simplicity, isn't it? Three little words. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That is all that God needs to hear from us. He's full of compassion for us. He's itching to come to our aid. And there's something helpful in that if you have the strength, the energy, the faith to quietly utter, Lord, save me, to call out to him in desperation, Lord, save me. If that's you, then you have all the faith that God requires of you. If you are able to cry out, Lord, save me, then that is all the faith you will ever need. Now, if you're not a Christian, a lot of this will be gibberish anyway, but I think for everyone, death looms over us. It's not something that we want to talk about. I think death scares us. Death makes us anxious. But when you're a Christian, you don't need to be afraid of death or to be anxious about death. Thanks to this psalm, thanks to Jesus, we know that death is just the gateway to never-ending life for those who love the Lord. Jesus has done that for us because he came to rescue us. In the second half of the psalm, the psalmist responds to God in thanks and praise. That is all the psalmist can do. Thanks and praise. Let's read those verses again from verse 12. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The psalmist sings, What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? He says, how can I pay God back for rescuing me? How can I pay off this debt? What can I give him in return for saving me? And the rest of the psalm shows that the answer is nothing. Nothing. The psalmist says what he will do, but it's nothing to do with paying the Lord back. Verses 13 and 14, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. So this is language to describe his thankfulness. The cup of salvation, possibly referring to pouring out a drink offering, pouring out an offering of thanksgiving. Whereas before he had called out to the Lord, save me, now he's calling out to him in worship and praise. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. The psalmist is praising and thanking and worshiping God because when his children are in trouble, it matters to him. And he's filled with compassion. They are precious to him. And the psalmist meditates on God and all that God has done for him, this incredible rescue. He prays, how can I repay you, Lord? How can I repay you? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing left to be done but to praise him and to thank him and to worship him. And for us today, when we reflect on how God has saved us from our sin, there is no way that we can repay him back for that. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can do today but to fall on our faces and worship. Are we to listen to God and obey his words? Yes. Are we to serve him and to be devoted to him? Yes. But ultimately, what God is looking for is a heart that adores him. A heart that is full of thanks and praise. The Bible says elsewhere in Isaiah, the person that God esteems, the person that he's looking for, the person who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Not the person who is able to do stuff for him. He doesn't need that. He's got legions of angels at his command to serve him if he needed to be served. But he's perfectly happy in himself. No, he wants people who just respond in thanks and praise and worship for his amazing rescue. This has implications for us as we serve and as we serve each other during the week and as part of a church family. We've got rotas and we've got teams. We've got this and that. Many of us, praise God, love to serve others and love to use our gifts and to help out on teams and rotas. It's wonderful to be a church that loves to serve each other. These are good things. But God is most concerned with our hearts, isn't he? God is most concerned that we have a heart that genuinely loves him and delights in him. He wants us to be people who serve, but out of a heart that just overflows with thankfulness, not from a place of wanting to pay him back, but just overflowing with thankfulness. And the sad thing is that it's it's easy to serve and to put in a shift and to tire ourselves out for each other and for the Lord. But it's possible to do that without the love that we had at first for the Lord. And that's what we need. Yes, to serve, but from a place of just loving the Lord and just reflecting on what he's done for us and being thrilled with the Lord. I need to ask myself, and I think we all need to ask ourselves often, just, am I doing this from a heart of thankfulness and joy for all that the Lord has done for me? And to get our hearts right before the Lord in quiet, in repentance, and in worship. Can we say, like the psalmist, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him long as I live. Can we take a moment just to be quiet and to pray quietly before we sing our final song together? Father, thank you so much for this psalm. Thank you, God, that in history you rescued your people. Incredibly powerful, life-changing, history-changing, eternity-changing way, Lord, you saved your people. Lord God, that in the Lord Jesus, you have saved all people. Turn in repentance and faith. Thank you for this incredible rescue mission. Thank you, Lord, that for each of us here this morning who are in Jesus, we are able to say, I love the Lord. He has heard my voice. Heard my cry for mercy. Oh God, would you help us to call out to you for as long as we live? And just as we've called out for you to save us, and you have saved us, Lord, that we would cry out to you every day in worship, thanks, and praise. Oh God, there is nothing that we can do to pay back this enormous debt. How can we ever repay you for saving us? How can we repay you for all your goodness to us? Lord, we can't. Beloved Lord, would you help us to cry out to you in worship and praise that is heartfelt? God, that we would delight in you. That we would be satisfied in you. Sovereign Lord, as we go about serving, we seek to serve you and to serve each other. Father, would you help us to do that with a heart that not trying to earn your favor, not from a place of trying to pay you back for your goodness, and not even because we think that you need it. But Lord, that we would serve each other and love each other as you first loved us. It's from a heart that worships and praises and thanks you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.